The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
As soon as he starts doing the Jigglypuff music,
yeah,
and sticking his fingers in people's mouths, I looked over at my dad and I was like, "You're still homophobic, all right."
Hard every time. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it everyone's problem. This week's very steamy victim is...
Oh, hi. My name is Juno. My pronouns are she, her. I am a writer, journalist, sex worker, and... I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
At least I'm triple threat.
I'm homeless. Give me a book deal and a house.
Yes, send Juno money. Quadruple threat there. There you go. I'm all these things and also money, please.
I like the fourth thing of the quadruple threat being give me money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And also I want money.
Yeah, singer, dancer, I direct. Money, please.
That's perfect.
Welcome. We've been trying for like a month now to get you on, and I'm happy you are no longer sick. And being homeless is awful and like the hardest thing to get to podcasting around. So thank you for even doing this.
I'm excited.
I don't have a huge listener base, but maybe one of them can get you a book deal. So I need to have my friend on there. This is a lot of folks. I'm a peek behind the curtain into gorilla position. This is a lot of what this show is. My friends, come, my friends, be on my thing and be seen by my followers. Send them money, followers.
And then one of us will build a big commune where we can all go not die. It'll be great.
Yes, and there will be a wrestling ring.
God, that would be so cool. A wrestling ring inside the communist not die kingdom.
If we had a communist not die kingdom, you know I'd have a gym going. Oh, yeah.
It'd be so cool.
We'd be doing a Fed. It's an on-running bit, I say. After the nuclear war, we will still have professional wrestling. Each town will have its big guys. And you get your big guys, and your big guys go to different towns and fight the other big guys. And that's just, it's going to happen. We've always
had it. It'll be great.
Yes,
we'll go back to big guy fights.
Yeah, it's going to be Thunderdome again. We will resurrect Tina Turner.
Speaking of big guy fights, I really like, I mean, I don't like that wrestlers were abused and all that stuff, but I really like that when confronted if they were using testosterone and stuff, everyone was like, no way, no, we're all just like super fucking jacked.
I do
lots of push-ups and they're like 6 times bigger than any person, like within a 1,000 mile radius. I always thought that was fun. Even as a kid, that was funny to me. Like, come on, you guys are doing testosterone and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, they're doing so much. I've heard the court transcripts. They were doing so much.
It's just very funny seeing someone like Hulk Hogan go, no way, these are from working out.
Well, no, I was just I did take steroids, but it was healing, you know, is for healing is prescribed. And like that's
He's
always
like,
the
go-to.
I smoked
the steroids, but I didn't inhale the steroids.
Yeah, I didn't inhale the growth hormone. So it sounds like you have a little bit of history of understanding of wrestling.
Is this the time to talk about that too?
I have kind of a weird
history with wrestling where. So growing up, I was abused, blah, 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 forced to boy mode. And while boy moding, I was only allowed access to the stuff that, you know, somebody from like a rural town would traditionally want their cishet boy kid to do, you know, whatever. I didn't want to do fishing and all that stuff. My dad made me and I hated that stuff, but the stuff that he was okay with that I was like, well, this is cool as fuck. I can't believe my dad likes this.
Yeah.
And let me do it. Was wrestling on TV, Ninja Turtles. I was like, this is gay as fuck too, but okay.
Oh yeah.
Ninja Turtles.
That's a different podcast. But again, if it exists, have me.
And then video games, those three things I was in art and stuff like that. And reading, I was allowed to do those things. And those things were like boy things that I could do. But the whole time I was watching wrestling, I was like, how is my dad homophobic? But this is okay, whatever.
It was just confusing. Like, do you not understand that this is the gayest shit that ever existed?
Right. Like, yeah. Like, I liked it, but like, I was watching it differently than he was. He was watching it like, these guys are tough. And I was watching it like, These are some really cool storylines. I love their costumes.
Yeah, they're showing me real emotion and vulnerability during these fights. And
at my house, we're not allowed to have emotions. On the wrestling stage, they are.
Exactly. Again, exactly. I'm Josie.
Oh, Josie's book. Josie's book's amazing.
And Josie's got an essay specifically about how wrestling made
oh my
her
God, it's
and
so
then wrestling
good.
Made
it's
me trans.
So good. It's so good. Everyone should read it at least
holy
once.
Holy shit. That essay.
When I read that essay, I realized I did that too. Yep, I realized I used that to build my little character before I was old enough to like do it differently. I don't know.
Yeah,
like
no.
I would say ages 4 through 9, it was like, okay, boys do this. Got it.
Yep. Yep. And then after I say, no, exactly. Cause that was absolutely that. And then like after that, once testosterone hit, there's just disassociation.
Oh my God.
For a good long while.
It was just like,
so I hope I had a good gimmick because we're riding it now.
I went from like wrestling and like, huh, I guess this is what boys do, to drinking cough syrup, doing drugs, and listening to Nirvana, which that started for me at 10 and 11. Like that wasn't like 16 and 17.
It's like, I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, but it worked for me. You know?
My mom one time told me, you did what you had to do to survive at the time with the tools that you had. And I'm like, yeah,
fucking
that's right.
A. Oh man.
When I say my mom, I mean like my found mom, my real mom, not my abusive piece of shit biological mom.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's an awesome mom because I relate to your story. Because
there's like guilt in that, like, oh, I did all this bad stuff. No, you were surviving.
You were just trying to like, dude,
you weren't
even
a bad
there.
Kid. Like you were trying to stay alive.
Like you weren't sure you were real.
Right. I need a break, and this drug might help me get a break.
But on that note, that essay and I Saw the TV Glow are like the two pieces of media that I have ever like consumed, if you count that essay as like media, you know, of some sort, but like that I felt so fucking seen. I was like, no, that exactly that. So
I had
like,
that same thing happen with this like random Kurt Cobain article that I read one time. I'm just being silly and plugging my work too.
It's happening. By the end of this episode, we're turning all the wrestlers trans. And they can't stop us. It's why I had you on.
Josie's, that's actually, Josie's probably, she's probably the easiest way for me to like explain my relationship with wrestling without rambling is like, I used it for boy moding and stuff growing up. I enjoyed it from like a gay girl in the closet angle. And it made me feel safer in spaces that I was in than I actually was, because it made me think, oh, the people around me are cool with gay. No, the people around me are not okay with gay.
No. The people at those shows, we just watched In Your House 7 on the Patreon. And there's a point where a good, solid, in unison section of that crowd is just screaming faggot at Goldust, like loud as can be.
I'm glad you brought Goldust up because when I was little, which I was born in 91.
Late 95, about the time we started this podcast,
Yeah, okay. So I'm 5 and 6 years old when Goldust came out then. I just didn't know that's when Goldust started. And I'm glad you brought up Goldust. That's a great example. When Goldust came out, I'm like, oh, okay, there's space for like, I didn't know the words for trans and gay. So I'm just going to say this. Weird people like me. You know what I mean? That's all I had in my head. I'm 5 and 6 years old. And then everyone's yelling words like faggot. And it's like, oh, never mind. Okay.
Yeah,
never
mind.
My dad wants Goldust to die. That's why he's happy he's on tonight. Not because he's like, yay, go Goldust.
Exactly. No, I've often talked about how, and it was the same for me, Goldust is, I think for a lot of us, the first time we encountered gender.
You know,
it's like, yeah, a gender. And I was just like, wait, boy can do pretty? Boy can
well,
do
yeah, because
boy can
because
do pretty
before,
and kick your ass.
Before Goldust, my not boy, not girl characters were like Tweety Bird and like stuff, and it was like you could tell there's something out there, but you're like, I don't. But Goldust, it was like, oh, there it is on a person. Mm-hmm. And what's his name? I wrote this in my notes. What's the guy's name that's in this episode that we're talking about?
Mankind.
Mankind's another example where. My brain saw people like Mankind and went, oh, okay, if I get like big and famous and act and can make money off being like big and famous and weird, I'm allowed to be weird.
Yep.
But only if I can make money. I'm not allowed to be Mankind at home. I Can Be Mankind on stage.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that, and, oh, Juno, I'm so happy you're on. It's
and
like
then that happened with rock stars to me later, too. I saw like David Bowie, Kurt Cobain, and was like, makeup on stage. And then even if you're off stage, you're like, well, I'm that rock star. It's okay.
Exactly, which is how I ended up being in a rock band for like 7 years.
Yeah, you guys are okay with me doing this because you like my music. I'm allowed to do this.
I can be flamboyant on stage.
But it's like if you just work
stage,
at Best Buy and aren't in the rock band, you can't wear eyeliner or whatever. You know, it's weird.
Exactly. No, it was a way. It was
that blew my mind when I was little. I couldn't believe it.
It was a way to be safely femme, basically. Yeah, and we grab onto that. I'm so happy you came on because it's like I cloned me. This is fantastic. we're like very similar trans girls here. This is amazing.
Really quick side tangent. A really weird thing that happened with me where, okay, the thing I just told you with like my dad and Goldust and going, oh, never mind. That kind of thing happened with my biological mom and rock star music punk stuff too. As well, biological shithead mom, obviously, family tree mom, when I say this story, because this is when I was 14. So long story short, I met my wife, who I'm married to now, when we were both in junior high, and she's the first person that put eyeliner on me. And I'm boy-moding at the time, and she put eyeliner on me, and she was like, you look so cute, da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, cool, I'm allowed to do this because the girl said I could.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and because my hair is messed up, and I got bleach and ripped up denim, and I'm ripping up my clothes and shit. I got home and bio mom starts just ripping the fuck into me. And I'm just like, but a girl put this on me.
Yeah. So
I thought
it
was okay.
Right?
And plus like, it's part of my style. And it's like, no, it's not. That's homophobic or that's gay. That's bad. Gay. Go wash it off. And it's like, oh, never mind. It's just so weird the way that our world allows and processes gender presentation.
Right. Yeah. No, one of my best friends would do my nails in homeroom. You know, just because she wanted to. And I was like,
you're like, of course, cool with it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, no, this is totally fine because it's like a goof, right? For the bit.
Guys, I'm not gay. I just like nail polish.
I'm an, I'm just an advocate. I'm an ally. Yes. And
like, that was my wife. That was my wife all through school. Yeah, like, no. I'm boy moding. We're dating. She's a dyke. And she's just like, ally.
You know, like none of us put this shit together. So, all right, back on, we could talk about gender forever. We should talk about gender and wrestling. What
you
would
and me
you
will
like
watch a gender podcast later?
Yeah, we'll
call it
you
gender
go.
And traumatic memories. Time.
Yeah, gender on the ropes. You know, we'll keep it within the Monday Night Fake Fights family.
Monday Night Gender Raw.
Yeah, Raw Gender Nitro.
Gender Nitro. Yes, that's the name. It's Gender Nitro Raw.
Gender Nitro Raw Mondays or something just like that.
Yes. Raw. Yes.
Where we need four pieces of paper. We'll write one of the words on each one of them and pick them at random. And then
we need to get someone to do a Vince impression for the start of that podcast where they go, where we take gender in the nitro or something.
Welcome, everyone. Yeah, exactly. So
I hate how evil he is and good at announcing. He's like the best announcer ever.
I disagree.
He's a monster. I hate him. But like when I hear him announce, I'm like, oh, damn, he's good at that.
Okay, maybe I'll give you maybe the announcements at the beginning of the show, maybe. But from then on out, like him on commentary is just,
he's so good at it.
Oh my God. All right. Never mind. We're
nothing
not
can
clones.
Be happening. And he's like, and here they go. And you're like, what? You're just in.
Oh my God.
In immediately.
Folks, this is amazing. We have our first person who likes Vinska's commentary, I think. That's fantastic.
I hate him as a human being. And he should be dropped in a volcano.
Well, that's an asterisk that lives on this entire show.
See, the problem is he went outside of his strengths. You're supposed to just do your good thing. You're supposed to, I'm good at commentary, stick to that. He went to be a bad guy, too. You're not supposed to do that.
Fair enough. No, if anything, is greedy. He's Caesar. He must expand or die. Well, we're talking about Vince. Let's start with Raw, because we're talking about Vince so much. So let me scooch my notes down. Look at me. I got notes. I'm a professional.
Me too.
Right. I'm faking it till I make it. Continuing a trend in wrestling at the time. We're going to open this Raw with vague accusations of cuckoldry. It seems to be a thing. Bulldog's wife wants to fuck Shawn Michaels, apparently.
Oh my god, that's right. I paused and was like, what? This was just on TV.
Yeah, no, exactly. They just put this on live TV. And this is a past guest, Arturo, friend of the pod, Arturo Garcia, talked about how this era of wrestling is just a memory hold. And if I weren't a total fucking mark that like absorbs everything, I would not remember this at all. Like, when the fuck was Sean fucking Diana Hart? When did this happen?
Like, yeah, there's stuff that they just put on TV and it's like, oh, no one was paying attention to what they were putting on the TV. Okay.
That's how, because it's so memory hold that it's like, that's how they got on TV. No one was watching, but people were just like,
it's like random people were watching, but like none of the adults in the room were watching.
It wasn't a cultural powerhouse like it is now, basically. It was before. They were, I think we forget this. Pardon me. We're 35 episodes in now, that we started this show in the back half of 1995, which is historically the worst year for wrestling, like, ever.
Oh, like for watching numbers and stuff?
And product quality, and like just it, everybody was sucking. Like everything sucked. Diesel was champion. No one liked that. It was like, and like, that's where a lot of this memory hole came from. It's just, it was a bad year.
WCW. Oh, you know what? I see. Oh, you're talking. Yeah. Okay. You're talking about like how people will be like, oh, back in the day, they only had good music. And it's like, no, you're only remembering the good songs. You forgot all the bad stuff.
You forgot that some of this sucked. And even in the wider internet wrestling community, which I don't like that I'm a part of, but I'm a person who exists online. Who
likes wrestling. A complicated community to be a part of. It's like there's pockets of homophobia, but not everyone. Yeah.
And it just, well, just the people take fandom too far, like they do in any fandom.
But, oh my god, you know, that's one reason why I had to like take one foot and kind of slide it back a little bit from the games industry, because it's like, some of you guys are just like obsessed with games. That's all you do. That's all you care about. You don't talk about anything else. That's weird.
But yeah, and like some of y'all are my thing with wrestling fans is I will never understand people who are invested in cheering for a company and like the numbers.
Yeah,
like,
the
they're making so much money and they just saw this. I'm like, you seeing any of that, dude? Then why the fuck do you care? I want to know if I had fun. This is entertainment. Right.
They'll like start pulling out the graphs and say our numbers are up, and it's like you don't work there.
I don't care. I really don't care. Was the DDT sick? I want to know if it was a sick DDT. So this is the show where we talk about if the DDTs are sick or not. DDT is the move where what it actually means is no one knows. I'm not sure if it was invented by, it was made famous by Jake the Snake Roberts.
Is so cool.
You get the front headlock or front face lock where you get like the guy's head in here and then you drive it down into the mat. That's a DDT. If they're like at the side and you sit down like that or lay down like that. Thank you for asking.
If I do a good job for you, it would be cool if you have me back on for Stone Cold Steve Austin episodes, because Stone Cold, when I was a little girl, I loved watching him walk up and hit Vince with chairs. I was like, that's great. I want to hit dad with a chair.
Once he's reached his final form, because we'll get there. He was on the show, but he's not reached his final form.
Yeah, when he's like, before the Attitude Era and stuff, he's like not Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's just like lowercase.
He's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, he's Steve Austin, who is a Stone Cold personality, is like the furthest they've taken.
Yeah.
It. They called him Stone Cold Steve Austin like once.
My wife always says someone needs to get him a blanket because he's cold.
He's so chilly. Yeah. But no, Bulldog storms out of the dressing room after the In Your House pay-per-view because like they're screaming about cuckoldry.
Made sure I was watching the right thing. When it got to that part, I was like, is this the wrestling thing? Okay. I went back and clicked on your link again and opened a second tab of it just to make sure.
It's like, no, this is just how Raw works. Half of Raw, it still is this way, but back this time it was worse. Half of Raw is replays of stuff that already happened. But hey, we get to our first graphs and it's Bart Gunn and the previously mentioned Mankind, my good, good deranged boy. Mankind is here to scare the hoes, so to speak. And I love him so much. It was like we talked about, like he was the one who told me it was okay to be kind of mentally ill. Because girl, you were kind of mentally ill, you know. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, as soon as he starts doing the Jigglypuff music,
yeah,
and sticking his fingers in people's mouths, like, and I mean, when I was like 6 years old watching this, I looked over at my dad and I was like, "You're still homophobic." All right,
you're still homophobic. How are you? You that's
like he was watching like this, like yeah, and I'm like,
oh yeah, I'm like this guy. He, oh my god, we'll get there. So yeah, there's some shots of Mick in the blue lightning that looks almost like moonlight shining through a window. He's like kneeling, he's on his knees with his back to the camera, and he's like swaying, and they've set up the lighting so it looks like moonlight coming through a window.
It looks like a Pokemon move was just used.
Yeah, and I'm like, my apologies to the people who hate that shit, but it was cinematic, it was beautiful, it was lovely. Mankind is too good for this world.
No, it was cool. That was cool, especially at a time with like a budget of zero.
Yeah, they found a way, and Kevin Dunn behind the fucking camera, like they found a way to make, he's like, I'm going to make this deep, whether you like it or not. The match itself is a slow burn, lots of back and forth, but fun. Out of nowhere, Mankind goes for the claw and Bart rolls out of the ring in a hurry. And I like that, like, and well, first of all, Mankind scurries after him like a fucking rat.
Yeah.
Because Mick is, like we see, yeah, he's just, like we discussed last week.
He moves like a Resident Evil villain. I love it. Yeah, he moves like a Resident, he moves like Wesker or something. It's great.
He scurries. Yeah, he's weird. But we talked about last week, he wrestles with his entire pussy. This is a full 360 degree performance. This is a like full immersion. He rips his hair out. He's coming in with a shiner on his face already. He's like a comic book villain. His outfit is one basic color scheme, the shades of brown. He's got a symbol on his back. He has a mask. He's acting the part. He's basically a comic book
super villain. Like that are really cool back then, especially because like this is back when wrestlers are completely responsible for every part of their character. Like they're not getting any...
They gotta run it past them. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're still supposed to come up with like what they do. Like I think you should leave skit where he's like, you have to figure out what Chunky does. Like that's every wrestler like has to figure out.
Basically do that. Yeah. And like Mankind had a specific.
He nailed it. He's like Jigglypuff music plays and I tickle their throat.
Yeah, right. There's all these ways. I do it with my fingies. But no, his whole, the way that came about too was really great because I've talked about parts of it before, but basically Vince will tell you like, this is your gimmick. This is the name I'm giving you because I want to trademark it I can make money off of it forever. But what it's like when a actor gets the script, it's like, here's the character, but what that character is,
right? Yeah,
is up to you. You know what I mean? So like, he's
how does he say this line? How does he act like that? Right.
All Mick had was, we're gonna put you in something that looks kind of like this. I want you to have a Hannibal Lecter mask. And
dude, his outfit goes so hard.
Yeah, and he wanted to call he wanted to call him something like, I forget what it was. I've had this exact moment before where I can't think of his name. It was like Mason the Mutilator or something like that.
That's a cool name.
He's like, yeah, right. But he's like, I don't want this. Can I just be Mankind? And he's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. So like, that's it. He did end up changing his mind on the name. So like, it's not like strict now. I think it more is. But back then, it really was that.
Now there's so much money involved. Yeah, I'm sure. Like, what are you going to go out there and do? Not just like, yeah, go see what happens.
Yeah, it's like, here's your script, where these guys were mostly making it. But the main thing was he didn't want to have Cactus Jack. So like, he's like, you got to do this whole thing. And Mankind was, he's like, Mick Foley was like, all right, I'll do Mankind and I'll make it about, you know, this sort of thing. And the Jigglypuff music is actually based on Tori Amos because Mick Foley is a huge Tori Amos fan.
I love that. That makes me so happy. Also, no, that's gay as hell. Like, that's cool. Like, it's obviously non-derogatory. Yeah, I love it.
But no, like, before he's talked about, like, before his big matches to get hyped up, like, before he got thrown off the cell, he's listening to Tori Amos to get
cool.
To get, like, hyped up. Like, Mick is a special dude. I'm so happy that him and Dustin seem to be like pretty much good because they're like two of my biggest.
Right. Also, shout out to the Smells Like Teen Spirit cover by Tori Amos. It's so pretty.
Yeah, right. It must be said.
I think my favorite song by her is A Sort of Fairy Tale. Like, that song is so pretty. Anyway, I'm going to get off topic. Sorry.
That's fine. So, no, that's great. Amos. Lawler, Jerry Lawler did something amazing. He actually made me laugh. And I hate to say it, but Bart's gets out and Lawler's like, "Stay out, Bart, stay out." Then Mankind immediately goes after him. He's like, "Get back in, Bart, get back in." And I was like, that's almost Heenan-esque. Good job. This, though, for me was really interesting match in that I didn't have that much urge to take play-by-play notes because it was all like either high spots or dramatic moments, you know, and it was really just this. And we talked about before, because eventually Bart goes for an elbow, but out of nowhere, Mankind shoves his fingies in. He gets those fingies up in there and the Tori Amos hits and he closes his eyes.
Yeah, he's just vibing, man. He's just dancing.
He's like swaying peacefully to the music while the crowd makes confused but excited noises.
I feel like he's paralyzing him, but also no punch. Why no punch?
Yeah, but and then he's just like the piano's going and he's just being like peaceful and all weird. And again, like you turn to your dad, like you really don't like gay people.
Yeah. I did too. I'm looking over and he's like, this is cool. He's paralyzing him with his fin. Okay, Dad.
I was like, this is fucking theater.
I'm like, I hope a girl does that to me someday, but okay.
Yeah, paralyze me, baby. Paralyze me. So they
paralyze me and wrestle me.
They eventually clap for Bart as he wakes up and walks out. JR is waiting for
him. I love that he just wakes up and is like, yeah, I lost.
He's like, oh, yeah. And JR tries to, he's like, Bart's trying to catch his breath.
Imagine being the wrestler that gets told, all right, Mankind's gonna shove his fingers in your mouth. You're gonna lose by finger mouth time.
By finger suck. Yeah, you're gonna lose by foreplay. Yeah, so like so JR is like, can you please explain to us why the foreplay was so effective? And Bart's like, so horny. And he's just like, no, he paralyzed me, paralyzed me with the fingies. And Mankind suddenly attacks him again and puts it back on him. And, like, Lawler blames JR. And I'm like, of course he does. So, like, okay, wonderful. I think this is a good way, though, because, like, what they're trying to do, they're trying to add, I'm sure, at least what they're trying to do is answer the question that people probably had at the time. And I know that, like, guys in the back were saying is, like, why I not just bite off fingies?
Yeah.
You know, like,
I thought that too. I like that they addressed the character development during the matches.
Yeah.
Like, I know this is kind of weird to say, but I'm going to say it. I think that shows like Yu-Gi-Oh! And this is, I'm just bringing this up because I'm watching kids' shows while watching wrestling too.
Yeah.
You know, Pokemon and stuff. Over the years, it stuck out to me. And I noticed this. WrestleMania, WCW, WWF, Nitro, Raw, all that stuff. They were all better at not making inconsistent character choices in future episodes than Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, like all kinds of shows. It would be like, the character can't do that. Even SpongeBob SquarePants, one episode he can't lift shit, the next episode he can. But the wrestling people, they don't fuck that up. The character sheets are, they get that.
And when it's being done well, yeah. And back in the day, I feel like part of the reason people are like, well, back in the day it was better is because like, the onus for that, and it was so much on the individual wrestler in a way that wasn't really fair from a from a labor standpoint, you know, like it wasn't good, you know, but like
people could only be passionate and burn out on it, basically. They couldn't
it was a machine built to extract,
grind people into dust
and extract all the creative and physical energy out of that person.
I think Andre the Giant's a good example of
the best example.
What wrestling was doing back then. Like, yeah, it gave us Andre, but it also took Andre.
And what Vince Jr. specifically did to Andre. Like, that's the other thing too, is it always had aspects of this, but Vince was like the Bezos, where he's like, I see your capitalism, and I would like to raise you a more systemic, brutal version of this, where we can really pump up the numbers of lives we destroy, you know, like, and we'll take the company public.
Obviously, I'm not removing the blame from Vince at all, but I just want to say, side note, I hate that we live in a society that only lets people like Vince build things instead of Bezos. You can't build things in capitalism, hardly. I mean, you try. I'm just saying, you can't be the biggest without being the evilest, and it sucks that the biggest can't be the purest and the most good.
And like, no, he absolutely, and that's the thing. It's like, it's not. I'm not handing it to him when I say it. He won. You know, we're watching the Monday Night Wars. He fucking won. He ate their entire fucking lunch and then fucked their wives about it. Literally, sometimes on TV.
Oh my God. Yeah. I liked the in terms of like the history between Ted Turner and Vince. Oh, I like that, like that network was calling up Vince and be like, you can't do that. And then they would just do it anyway. They were just like,
I'm really happy we got past that though. That was rough.
Oh, I am too. I just think as a kid, I thought it was so funny. Like they're just attacking the other TV channel. What?
Yeah. Right. Well, I meant specifically the billionaire Ted sketches. Oh God.
Oh, that was
That was three rough months, you know. I'm happy holy fuck. Like, Vince, you're not a sketch show like this. Don't stop.
He was trying to be like SNL, and it's like, nah, dude.
You're not SNL. You're here for mankind to shove fingies.
You're here to mankind to shove fingies. Come on.
He shove fingies. So they talk about the fingie shoves, because they're trying to get the finisher over, and actually, like, really... like that. And that was one of the,
this is so erotic.
Yeah, right. And it was one of those things where, like, if you're a kid, you're like, that's kind of gay, and why, and I like it,
but dad beat me up if I act weird.
But as a smart mark, I'm like, oh, that's nice, they're getting over the finisher. Yeah, like, you know, like that's smart. Yeah. So now next is Savio Vega comes out because he has to hang out at the commentary table while his enemy du jour Stephen Austin has a match. And I was like, all right, cool. I like this arc. I hate how they always do this, though, where you'll have the guy come out to commentary table to, like, distract from the match. And, like, I get why you're doing it, but come on. And I'm like, all right, they're feeding Steven a jobber. This is okay. It's a lovely purple singlet number that was, like, half sort of saved by the bell pattern. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You'll notice I end up talking a lot about wrestler's gear because I'm gay and I can't.
It's cool. I think that's cool. Yeah. I think it's cool. It's their armor. It's their armor and their costume.
Yeah. And it's always in my notes. I'm like, all right, someone will wear something where I'm like, oh God, I have to talk about this. That jobber is Scott Taylor, who my fellow old wrestling fans will know is Scotty Too Hotty. he will eventually get over by doing the worm. Truly a golden age of wrestling we got coming up. But first, Austin is going to beat his ass while staring down Savio the whole time. Yeah.
Dude, he was doing the move from Blade of Glory. The bath. I was like, what if his head falls off? I was like, that's straight up from Blades of Glory, and that made me go, wrestling is so gay.
Right? But the energy of this is pretty amazing.
It's great.
Austin is like, fuck this ringmaster shit. He's more Stone Cold style, like just beating him.
My notes here say my dad had these same moves when I was 6 years old.
Yeah. Against me. Oh God, fuck me. Fuck me.
And then my notes in parentheses say my cats also do this at night for sure.
Yeah. So did your dad like Austin pull out a Claudio style big swing on Scotty like that? Like, he did.
Basically,
it was wild.
Cool.
To see,
he was a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. It was really cool seeing Austin do a big swing though. That was great. Meanwhile, Lawler is just being so fucking racist towards Savio. It's like a whole bit. He calls him burrito breath, things of this nature. Yeah. Meanwhile, Savio is holding a leather belt that he wants as a stipulation in a match against Steven. And I'm like, Lawler, I'd shut the fuck up if I were you. They almost go to blows over it at like every racist outburst though. And then Vince just goes like, no, wrestling time, guys, calm down. We are here for the grabs, which is like the first time that Vince has ever had this mentality. Gets him to pay more to the attention, like the match, and act like it never happened. It was just a very weird, like, why did you have to go there, Lawler? Like, really? You got
sometimes
nothing else?
Dragon Ball Z and wrestling have weird side tangents in the fight where it's like, just fight. You don't have to do that. That's weird. Why are you telling Frieza that? Don't tell Frieza that.
This doesn't have to be three episodes. Frieza has some really weird eugenicist beliefs, it turns out.
He really just whoop his ass. Go. Don't let him finish talking. Vegeta does too. Anyway, sorry, side tangent. Yeah. Also very gay.
That's fine. You should go on Most Important Election of Your Lives and talk about Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z is so gay, but also so serious.
Oh, so serious and gay. That was another. At the time I was watching wrestling, I was also watching Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
So this all mixed together, and it makes all of this.
So much of my friends that I had to have at the time, like when pretend to be a boy, like hanging out with boys, was like, it was just like when we'd be in the playground, it was just people beating the shit out of each other. Because
yeah,
this is what happened in wrestling last night.
Whoa, check this shit out. I totally, they're like, don't try this at home. We tried this.
Yeah, immediately. We're like, back that clip up. I'm doing it too.
Yeah, no, I want to see how he does it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. I'm going to jump off the couch on top of you.
Right. Speaking of holds that I might have had a sibling in at one time, Stephen Austin gets Scotty asleep with the million-dollar dream. Savio wastes no time getting away from Vincent Lawler, which is normal to me. It, like, grabs a mic to officially throw the strap match gauntlet down. That's good. I'm looking forward to that match so hard. Folks, join the Patreon for the watch party. It's so good. This man, I know this is one of, we're getting to the era where I started watching, like, regularly. So oh, I fun. Know.
Yeah.
So, like, I started watching maybe a little under a year after Nitro started. So,
yeah,
like,
I think we probably were watching around the same time.
Probably. It sounds like
I think
it.
I started watching probably most heavily from like 1997 to like 2000, 2001, probably somewhere in there.
Yeah, no, we literally had the same fucking chunk.
And then I was aware of it and watching it a little bit after that, but like 97, yeah. 2001, I was like very, yep, very fixated, no, knew it was happening.
Exactly, same. And then I took 20 years off and then COVID happened and now I know too much about wrestling and I watch hours and hours and hours of it a week.
I think the meta stuff is extremely interesting, honestly. I like learning about why things happen off the show too, and just it's
oh yeah,
it's very fascinating.
So I'm
wish
looking
that
forward
sports
to...
was as deep and as in depth mm-hmm. as wrestling, but it's not. Sports is so boring.
It
like I mean like football and stuff, I'm like, that wait, he goes out there and plays football and that's it?
No, it's more fun when you can add a script element.
There
so,
needs
like,
to be a storyline. Yeah, like there's a storyline. Let two football players beat the shit out of each other because of a disagreement over something. Like, let it happen.
Yeah, right. Well, I feel like sometimes that happens. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, though, because I know this match coming up, and I'm like, it's going to be a banger, folks. We come back from commercial to Cornette and Bulldog and his wife, Diana Hartsmith, and Vince asked Sean to come out, and I'm like, oh, God, all right. We got a Mankind match, and now we're doing this? Okay. So Lawler calls HBK a skirt chaser, which is like the pot calling the kettle a registered sex offender.
I thought, yeah.
yeah, like, really, dude?
Okay.
Really?
You're going to call him okay. that?
Yeah. Okay, Jan. So Sean is still in his Gold Ranger gear. I'm into it. I guess we're having, like, kitchen table polyamory in the ring as we get to the bottom of this alleged cuckoldry. So first, Sean loudly and dramatically recaps the last month of his life, much to the applause from the crowd. Never thought I'd be happy to hear from Corny, though, because thankfully, like, Cornette cuts him off. He says, why are you trying to sleep with this man's wife? Right, just fucking fuck your shit. You're talking about wrestling. I want to talk about the fucking. He proceeds to show us, like, a Zapruder film of the night before someone show escorting Diana out of the audience to take her in the back to be propositioned by Sean. I'm like, when did you guys come up with this? Like, what the fuck? This feels like the writer parentheses Vince's vaguely hidden fantasy.
So it happened. There's a lot of things that would happen where it's like, was he just jacking off last night? Like, that'd be cool. I'll put that in the show.
Oh, this is a great idea. Yeah.
It's weird.
It's so fucked up. Corny really lays it home that Sean is lecherous and that Diana is a saint. So all this is all so gross because Vince has absolutely already been dodging allegations at this point, like in real life.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true. A lot of this stuff reads differently after the...
Yeah, so it's like he's trying to say, like, the woman's lying about it and all this shit. And it's like, dude, you, like, are dodging lawsuits right now as you're putting this on TV. He's Darvoing the American
public. Yeah, that's the word. I couldn't think of the word. Darvo.
Yeah, like, he's doing Darvo on the American public.
It's and crazy.
Like, that's Vince's whole thing. Like, I, oh my God.
He made it so that, like, allegations would come out and people that don't want to believe them would just be like, no, that's just, they took that from the show. And it's like, no, he took that from life.
Yeah,
and put it
no,
in the show.
He,
like,
he blended it. He blended it all together on fucking purpose. So finally they do what should have been on this whole time. And they asked the woman about it. So they're like, Diana,
it took him a while.
Please.
It took him a while.
Yeah. It took him a long fucking while. So she starts with Sean. Sean, I know that you want me. And she says it with all the excitement of someone that does not want to be there. The crowd boos and this feels just mean.
My notes here say it must have been really fun being a woman in wrestling at this time.
Holy shit. And to be like the wife of a wrestler and be like, you're, I need you in on this.
Yeah, I need you to be in a skit. My homie's going to want to fuck you, and I'm going to say some really weird stuff in defense of you where it's like, you're my property. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And me, it'll and also fun. crack.
Everyone's going to see it on TV too. It'll be cool. Also, it's going to be part of wrestling lore forever.
Yes. Yes. And me and Jim Neidhart are just going to go do some crack about it. So Sean says, don't flatter yourself. And Diana slaps the shit out of him, rightfully so. Sean responds with a shitty sexist remark of, we know who wears the pants of the Smith family. And that's Davey's activation switch. Is it, you're pulling the man card. Must employ violence.
Must fight.
Must employ violence. Must fight. So we go to commercial with a pull apart brawl. And then next up, new rockers coming out as Sean is going back, which I think is very funny.
Also, during this commercial break, like when they come back, I forgot his name, but the commentary guy that's not named Vince McMahon.
Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, he was doing the commercial coming back, and it was for M&M's, and he went, M&M's, the candy that melts in your hand, I mean your mouth. And I was just laughing at that.
Yeah, no, he occasionally gets those.
Like, I get the commercial that wrong was funny to me.
They've done it more than once.
Just the complete disregard for the advertiser is very funny to me. Anyway, back to our show. We don't care about M&Ms. Yeah. Fuck them.
Right. We got the new rockers. Yeah, wrestling. Yeah. Welcome, everyone. So, like, they make Sean go past his old partner who he betrayed, who's coming out with the new guy. So, like, Marty Jannetty will continue to try to rear the young Alfred Snow in the ways of Team Tassels, this time against the Godwins, Pig and Hog. And then Hillbilly Jim and Old Blue, and they have piglets. And I was like, moments like this, I hate being Easy Mark, because piggies. Like, fuck the Godwins, but they got a little piggy.
I was happy about that, too. I wrote piggies with lots of exclamation points. Then I was hoping they wouldn't scare them, but they kind of do scare them a little bit.
They do, because one of them is not having it. He just, like, lays down there, and he's like, fuck this. This is scary. Everything's loud.
Also, my notes here say, is that the lady in charge of the Department of Education?
Oh, which one?
Linda McMahon? Is that the Department of Ed lady?
Linda McMahon is Vince's wife.
Okay, what a fun reality we live in. We're the wrestling. That's fun.
Again, when I started the show, the hope was to try to not focus on all the awfulness of it.
Oh, right. But, whoops, sorry.
No, it quickly became like, so every show is going to be how Vince McMahon should be. You know, God damn it. This is the life we lived in. So yes, that piggy, much like me, was not right now, not having a good time. It's scared. Those guys smell bad, even for the piggies. Take me back to the barn.
I like the farmers, though. That was cool. I liked, as a kid and now, I like being like, oh cool, yeah, we just have farmers running around on stage. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. I love the Godwins as an idea. I just hate the way that they are put across. Like before this, it was against Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the rich guy, and it was like clear class warfare going on.
Yeah.
But the graps begin. Let's immediately go to Sunny in the back, because it's not about the wrestling. Holding the titles, involving her exceptionally shiny in the booble region. We're getting to the, here's Sunny, let's look at her tits era.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah. She basically lets us know this match is going to end with some fuckery involving her coming out to mess with the Godwins. Like, that's, it's like, there's foreshadowing, and then there's Vince telling us what he's about to do. As far as the graps go, this match is, it's pretty all right. It's telling me that.
Not good commentary, because he says, what did I write down here? He flosses his teeth with barbed wire because he's so tough.
Yeah, that was
That's good.
No, that's good shit, pal. Write that one down.
When commentators say stuff like that, I'm like, oh, that's the juice. That's good.
That's the juice. Possible murders and various predatory behaviors aside, Marty Jannetty is really good at this.
Yeah.
it's like one of those things where, like, a human being? No. Wrestler, fuck me. Like, he's actually really good.
Yeah.
But after a while, this is all kind of just turns into both teams posing at each other. The Godwins in an oddly homoerotic mounting position.
Yeah.
Again, you're
looking
you're
at homophobic. My dad. He says this is tough guy behavior. Okay.
Looking at my dad. That's good. I kind of want to keep that. That's like the there were signs every time Vince is racist. Or awful towards women. It's like, this is gay. Looking for years,
like, my dad's okay. Okay, I can't be weird, but wrestling weird. Okay.
All right, cool. Writing that down. And then Yeah, what was the Al Snow being like, don't hold me back, don't hold me back, while Jannetty does in no way try to hold him back.
Yeah.
good stuff, guy. They get back to it immediately, and Sunny is here to cause trouble. The story being, it's supposed to be that...
Everything with Sunny was so frustrating. I'm about to cry. I'm trying not to cry. But yeah, very frustrating growing up, because at the time, I'm like, oh my God, girl, wrestling, that's so cool. But also, I saw how they were treating her, and it just made me so sad, you know?
It kind of it's
like, I'm only allowed to be in spaces if I'm a victim, as a girl.
And I was kind of, it was very...
And that was hard as a trans girl, too, because it was very clear, oh, coming out will be scary, because it's scary for the fucking girls that are already out, you know? Like,
see, and I didn't even have, I didn't, that was before I saw the Maury episode, where it became a reality that you could even...
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that until a few years later. And even then, I'm going to be completely real with you. This is one reason why I talk about HRT so much. Yeah. I did not know about HRT until like 2020. Up to that point. But yeah, up to that point before that, I just assumed incorrectly, because they don't let people, they don't really like, well, let us talk about it. And that's one reason why I'm so vocal about it. Up to that point, I would see as someone that was trans and go, oh, they were able to get like millions of dollars in surgeries. Good for them. I didn't know you could like just take medicine.
No, this meat suit we're in is fucking programmable.
Yeah, I had no idea you could reprogram. Yeah, I thought you had to go and like get your bones broken and get new skin and shit.
No, this bitch runs Linux. Like, yeah, and so does yours. And that's why they hate us, because they don't want to think about the fact that they're also running Linux.
It's so much easier to think, I have to do what I was told to do. There's no choice, because otherwise you're admitting there's choice and you're abandoning that choice.
And then you have to think about it, and you don't want to think about it. So, yeah.
I don't know how many, obviously, we'll never know, but I think there's a small percentage of closeted trans girls that are like, I don't want to give up my power.
Yeah, no, safety, absolutely.
You know, and it's like, it's worth it. Give it up. They don't want to.
Well, I mean, that's oh my God, we could go completely off topic, but that's Cypher in the Matrix. That's what Cypher is, you know what, this was too scary, put me back in the closet, I want to I need to be stealth, I need to be so stealth that people don't, basically Cypher is Brianna Wu. It's like, I need to be so stealth that I can lie about it for 20 years while throwing everyone else under the bus.
And it's like, it would be so much easier, healthier, and safer to just shut the fuck up.
And to quote the Matrix, you know, say what you want, Brianna, you're still going to burn. You know, like Cypher, it's like, dude, you're still going to burn, motherfucker. They don't care.
They don't care.
We are all just faggots to them, honey.
Hitler threw his gay generals in jail when he was done using them.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, we are just faggots. So, like, please join the rest of us and stop being so fucking weird.
Yeah, it's like, why do you think they call us faggots? It's because they want to throw us in a pile and burn us. Like, that's where that comes from.
We are bundles of sticks. Fascists, too. It will never not please me that faggot and fascist have the same root word for the same reason.
Oh, can you explain this to me? I love etymology.
Oh, fascist, well, faggot is a bundle of sticks, right?
Right,
Well, fascism, Behind the Bastards, you talked about the
yes, I love Behind the Bastards
episodes, many episodes about where it comes from. But one of the original symbols of it was a bundle of sticks to symbolize that we are stronger together as a fascist force of authority. That's why early anti-fascism, you'll see the breaking of the bundle of sticks is a symbol of early anti-fascism.
Because those fascists are just sticks that we can break separately.
They think they're stronger together. Fuck that. We also can get together and break.
Yes.
That
okay. That's cool. I love that.
Yeah. So I love people that fascists.
Human beings are so cool.
Human beings are so cool.
I wish that we would all be like, I'm gonna be cool and real instead of like, I think I'm gonna be evil instead of healing.
Again, programmable meat suit. And we make wrestling, and wrestling is better than the thing you like.
Every person that I talk to about, which I've probably talked to a few hundred people that like come to me and they're like, I'm going to transition, can you talk to me? Every person that I talk to, I always am upfront with them and I tell them that first year, if you transition correctly, is really brutal, because you have to ask yourself, why did I do this? Was that real or was that for safety? And you have to undo all that. Otherwise, if you don't interrogate all that thinking, you're just masking again. You're just being a different. And why would you be trans and fake? That's just being fake with extra steps, and you're just putting yourself at risk. Like, just keep being don't transition. Like, I tell them, don't transition to a fake person again. You already did that.
Yeah, exactly. The whole point of taking that leap of faith was
jump.
That
you have to jump all the way. Do not do any of it fake.
The whole point was that the possible death at the end was better than continuing to live the lie.
Right.
Yeah.
And everyone that tells me, like, oh, I'm self-selfing at my job. I'm like, you gotta stop doing that, though. You have. I know it's hard, but you have to stop because it's not good for you. It's like a psychological cancer that you're holding on to. You just have to throw.
Yeah. And I think the best thing we can do is just support them.
And to be clear, people that are doing that, I'm not trying to like tell you how to live your life. I'm just saying it's like my therapeutic psychological advice. I understand. Yeah. I don't know your situation and you might be like, I have to right now. I get it. It's just,
yeah.
I'm but talking like, from like a standpoint of health. Like, it's just not good for you.
That's what I'm saying is like, that's the best thing you can do to help in that health because it's not good for them is because if they have to continue to do this thing that is hurting them, the best you can do is help them not hurt.
Here for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And help them not hurt.
I have like five or six people that are public. I'm just going to say public figures. I'm not going to say like what they do, but like their life is, and their work is like public and they're still stealthing and like they're creating content that is going out into the world. And like, I check in with them a lot and I'm like, hey, I'm here for, I know that's hard. I'm here for you. You know, I know that's really hard to be transitioning behind the scenes. I couldn't do it. It's just too hard.
Yeah, God, when Abigail Thornton finally came out, and then like
I was so happy when she did. I was so like, yay.
A year later, I loved philosophy too, but I hadn't started listening to like Kill James Bond yet, which is what really made me love Abby. So I wasn't fully aware of the whole thing. So like a year later, I finally watched the coming out video, which was about a year and a half after I finally came out to my partner.
When is this like time frame? I'm just trying to.
Oh God, this was probably like a year ago that I watched it. So it, gotcha. I forget when she came out, but like the philosophy.
Yeah, no, you're. Tube, I just meant yeah for you. Yeah.
Yeah, the philosophy tube. Oh, it was probably closer to two at this point. God, I've been out for a while now. Holy shit. Time's different. Time works differently.
Whenever someone talks to me like, oh, it's dragging, I'm like, girl, I thought the same thing. And then one day it was like, oh, it's been 3 years. What? Like, it just...
I can't even...
It's like, don't think about don't think about how many steps you're taking. Look at where you're going, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of why I can't even, like, process how many years it's been. Because it's like, I don't even think about that anymore. It's like that switch.
Yeah, there was a time where every single month on the 21st, I would celebrate and say one more month. Because my HRT day was on the 21st of the month. And then one day I just was like, oh, I haven't celebrated the 21st in a few months.
Yeah.
You just kind of forget and you're living your life. And that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Oh God. Again, we're doing gender show wrestling. Yeah,
sorry.
Back to wrestling.
You and me
show.
Will start a gender podcast, and we'll go on wrestling tangents.
Yeah. And then there you go. That's okay. Right. But sure enough, Sunny does come out. Now we're back to wrestling, folks. Where were we? Sunny is threatening the Godwins and the audience with her tits. And it's that's what
feelings growing up because I wanted to see them. But
yeah, no, I'm exactly. Like, that's what started this tangent is feeling bad about Sunny and feeling confused about Sunny because I did too. I had a huge crush on Sunny and I wanted to be Sable/China. You know, like that was where I was at.
Still look at her boobs because they're being mean to her.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, I don't like how Jerry talks about Sunny. Like, I love Sunny, and yes, I love her boobs, but don't be like that. But I'm eight. I don't know how to process this.
It's like that when you're dating someone pre-transition too. I was with my wife for 12 years pre-transition, and I had guilt the entire time just because you feel bad for being a. Your brain is like, you're not supposed to objectify women. And you're like, I'm not. I just think women are great. Like, it's like a thing.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just gay. But sure enough, she comes out. She distracts Phineas. Because that's the whole thing is that Phineas is, like, distracted by her beauty. Because he's a, like, simple guy. It's so awful. But it's the really crowd awful. Loves it. It's so bad. It works. We get a double count out because of the fuckery. And, like, this was a low point of the show for me. No amount of Marty Jannetty work rate was going to save this shit show of a segment.
Sometimes the wrestling ring in this show is like a gladiator pit, and like the American people are like marginalized groups of people are like being like used as fodder, And it's like the King Vince and like the audience are just laughing. And it's like, y'all, like, they're making fun of you right now. Like, that's
weird.
Yeah,
like, this is you. Like, yeah, like, this
okay,
is
okay, you like
good.
You're clapping. Okay. Yeah. Deeply uncomfortable.
Like,
sometimes.
They're objectifying you too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they call you Marx. Yeah. But next, JR interviews Mankind, asking him to explain the mandible claw maneuver. And I was like, yeah, let's get weird with it. You know, there, and he does. He's like, you know, there are over 740 pressure points in the human body. And like, he's like, during the course of an isolated adolescence, I explored them all. And I'm like, yeah, this twisted shit where the flesh is weak and the nerves run deep. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And he like tells us, he's so fucked up. And he tells us like a very real like presentation of how pressure points work in a way while making it sound like poetry. I love this man. JR asks about like Taker and if he's scared of retribution, and Mankind's like, no, I want to destroy him, have a nice day. Like, good shit. I'm so good with this. More Mankind to come. We come back to Graps, and somehow, some way, Isaac Yankum DDS has returned. I truly thought we were done with this iteration of Mayor Kane, but no, the dental drill sounds are back and they're loud as fuck. But almost like he heard my prayers for Mayor Kane DDS's demise, here comes Ultimate Jackass. like, Warrior's gonna come bury this guy. And I want to believe that this is like Vince's way of saying, we are burying this gimmick. We are gonna come, like actually have Warrior bury you. But he runs out and he does a lap around the ring and goes.
That was weird. Yeah, what
was
he doing?
In the back again? I don't know. Vincent Lawler and everyone watching, you and me were as well, are confused. He comes back and I can't think of any reason why he did this other than that's he runs on cocaine and Duncan. Like,
yeah, you know what? You're right. He probably just did that. And then Vince is probably like, well, that was weird. Back to the show.
Yeah, everyone's losing their shit, though, because it's Warrior. And he's like, and that's why he did, is because he can do, and he's the gimmick version of Trump saying he could shoot someone and get away with it.
Yeah.
Like, I could literally just go out here and make snort noises and say things that don't make any sense and run in the back for some reason, and the people are going to love it. So he does it because he can.
Yeah.
You know, when you're Warrior, they let you do it.
Yeah, they let you get away with it.
Jesus. Lawler.
Grab him by the cocaine.
Yeah, I grab him by writing down possible title name.
Grab him by the cocaine pussy.
Grab him by the cocaine pussy. No, I couldn't. I didn't put pussy in the title last week. I backed down from it. I should have. I should stop. I wanted to, but no. All right. Well, that's a whole other thing. But yes, he comes out, he does a lap, he goes back again. Vince and Lawler don't know what to do. It's Warrior. So Lawler gives Yankum advice while he's like doing his thing. He's like, this guy's biggest muscle is between his ears. And I'm like, that's not true. That's true of some wrestlers, Dean Malenko, you know? Like,
yeah, that's not true for the Warrior, though.
Not Warrior. Warrior is steroids and insecure masculinity.
Warrior's like Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Kind of, but, like...
But less queer-coded. Yeah, and less queer-coded. Animal from the Muppets gives me non-binary trans mask vibes.
Yeah.
With cocaine, Warrior just sucks.
I know for a fact that the Warrior's pronouns are cocaine.
Yes. Warrior's pronouns are Warrior.
Warrior, yeah.
So this match happens. It's a Warrior match, which means it's just Warrior getting his shit in, which isn't a whole lot.
I didn't really like him that much growing up, but I there was no internet and I couldn't really talk to everybody, so I don't know if that's what like popular opinion, but when I was little, I thought he was like an industry plant. I didn't have that word for it, but like he just kind of felt like a boring, you know, like, oh, Vince's friend, like, you know, Vince's guy, like Vince likes him. Yeah, like it just kind of felt like I didn't pick up on that
when I was eight.
It felt like they wanted me to like him, kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah, and that is absolutely what was going on. I didn't pick up on that because I was eight. I think I just didn't like him because he was boring.
Yeah, well, he didn't do anything. He just kind of yelled and made noise and hit people. Like, my dad does that already.
Yeah. Your dad is the reoccurring hero of this show. So we come back, right? But yeah, no, it's Warrior. He doesn't do much. We come back from commercial, which I can't believe this match lasted long enough to go to commercial. Vince
tells
us,
can we just pause for a second and enjoy the fact that we live in a society where they can be like, you should buy M&Ms, and then people beat the shit out of each other, and then it goes back to, you should buy M&Ms. Like, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty all right.
Violence,
yeah.
Buy stuff, violence.
M&Ms, we like theater kids that do violence. But we come back, and Vince tells us that Yankum got a bunch of offense in that we didn't see. I don't fucking believe it. I find that unlikely. Warrior finishes this shit. He finishes getting his shit in for the three, is what I wrote down. Like, I'm not writing down the moves he did, because it was mostly running and I think a splash. Like,
it's like the Warrior had like a fit and then thrashed everywhere and then won.
And landed on him for the three. Yeah. So Lawler tries to interview Yankum after.
He's kind of like Crash Bandicoot. He's just kind of like spinning around and jumping on people.
He doesn't really have any moves.
He just kind of thrashes.
Really. Yeah, really. Lawler tries to interview Yankum after the match, and he just fucking bolts instead, which, like...
I like when they run out of the room. Yeah, that's funny.
I wouldn't want to talk to Jerry either. And I'm sure Yankum was just like, well, that sucked. No one enjoys wrestling Ultimate Warrior. And turns out that was a fucking main event. Like, Warrior in Warrior's first Raw appearance.
Oh, wow.
That was weird. And that was basically Raw.
I didn't know that was his first appearance. That's so funny.
Yeah. In like Raw, just like that, ends on kind of a wet fart. And it was like, okay, cool.
I know that Nitro is not considered like as cool as Raw, but I think this was during the time period where I was like feeling guilty about kind of thinking Nitro was doing more, like when I was a kid, but like it just felt like they were doing more, you know.
See, and I came into that versus later, and I was always a WWE girl. And I don't know, I didn't watch much Nitro, but yeah, it didn't necessarily seem cool to me. It felt more like...
I think if I didn't have adults that were watching it anyway, I probably wouldn't have been aware of it, you know? But I had adults that were like, oh, we're watching this too, you know?
Yeah, and I became aware of it because I caught it channel flipping.
Right, and you're like, oh, other wrestling? Okay.
Hulk Hogan's here? He's a bad guy? This is weird.
That threw me off, and I was like, okay. And also, it felt like Nitro had more money and for cooler costumes. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I like the costumes. That's cool.
Oh, I can't wait to. All right, I'm happy we're getting into Nitro, speaking of costumes, because like we are getting into, folks, oh, it's 1996 and we are getting into an era. Hello outside. Hello, park bench. Hello, everyone in the Gok Hendricks viewing area. And hello, sickos. I stole this phone on my way out. I overheard the lab coat girlies say these are company burners, untraceable for security reasons. I hope this means I can keep broadcasting and let you know about patreon.com/mnffpod, where only $5 a month gets you access to bonus content, and starting now, for $7.50, old Gok Hendricks will read your name out on the show. As far as I go, I think I managed to lose my tail, but I just need to head out on that queer journey to find my chosen family. Where the hell am I anyways? Is this the USA? Excuse me, ma'am. You know how to get to Bad Street?
My notes start off, though, with saying, because of ACAB, I only know Sting from WCW. I do not know the other one. Yeah.
That's a good way to start talking about
Nitro. And actually, for most of my 20s, whenever anyone would talk about Sting, I would assume everyone, I'm serious. I would go, do you mean the wrestler or the singer? And they would be like, the singer or the wrestler. Yeah. Like, I just never knew what they were talking about. I mixed those people up for a while.
Yeah, I'm like, no. I mean, it'd be cool if he could play bass. I don't know. Steve Borden, can you play bass? Tell me.
The Undertaker and Sting starting a punk band. If the Undertaker didn't suck.
Yeah, I was going to say, fuck Markel. Get him. I'm bouncing him out of my band. But yes, Nitro, exploding cities, exploding pyro, let's go. Eric Bischoff's in a t-shirt. I don't like it. that seemed wrong. But Pepe, however, seems to be dressed like Macho Man with Batman fabric. And I am so here for that little dog.
Yeah, the costume department has a way bigger budget for Nitro. You can just tell.
They have a bigger budget for Pepe. They spend more money on Pepe than they do on their wrestlers. Giant Flair doing a belt for the belt tonight. That's cool. But most importantly, one of my favorite Nitro matches of all fucking time happens on this show. For AEW fans, you will be familiar with the parking lot brawl. The best friends have brought it back in a big way. Excuse me. Holy crap. We get one tonight. We're getting a pocket lot, parking lot brawl with Fit Finley, the Belfast Bruiser, and Regal. Again, some folks, I don't know the range of listenership as far as who knows this stuff and who doesn't. I don't know, so that's why some I apologize for folks who know this shit and I overexplain it. You know what this is. This match is a big fucking deal, and these two are fun to watch. Like, first, I guess, well, chronologically, Harlem Heat gets kind of a pop. They come out, and that's... Yeah, we'll get to the parking lot brawl. I'm too excited, but this is a big match.
Fights are just cool. They just are.
Right, and we'll get to it, but I'm too excited about it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Harlem Heat comes out. They get a bit of a pop. It's good. It's awesome and surprising because, like, they're fighting Sting. It's Sting. And then I guess Luger's here. But Sting has his crowd so pumped that they're even high-fiving Lex, even though he's doing his, like, I'm a heel partner thing. That's
really,
like,
they're just happy to be having fun, really.
Yeah, which normally for a couple weeks ago, they would literally cheer for Sting, and then he would move past, and then they would all start booing for Luger right behind him. And
right, it was like,
this is awesome, cool. So they're coming back and around. Some dudes ruined a bed sheet with paint to make a Nitro sign, and I appreciate that wrestling leads to arts and crafts. Yeah, no, arts and crafts is good.
There's also kid holding a sign that's like, all I want for my birthday is to go to Nitro or something. And I was like, hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. No, and WrestleSky keeps this, it shows that this is still a thing. That WrestleSky,
the original posting before internet, it was people holding signs up in wrestling, man.
That's what I'm, Juno.
That was the beginning.
You know my brain's so hard. I've literally said that before on this podcast. Like, this is the origins of posting.
It's just like, oh, that guy, what's he holding up in his hands? Oh, Final Fantasy IX is my favorite. Hell yeah, cool.
Yeah, remake it. So, like, yeah, no, WrestleSky is keeping this tradition alive because they have made some of the all-time great signs for AEW shows. It's awesome. This match itself, it ought to fuck. I must note, Sting still doesn't know what he wants to do about his hair. He kind of sort of like half bleached just the top because the whole thing is he stopped bleaching it because he was losing his hair from it.
So
and he went full brown, but he's looking at it and he's like, the brown is no good, my guys. So now he came out and he just did like a highlighting away from the roots.
Was he just like sticking his head in the bath of a bleach probably to bleach his hair?
He was, they weren't doing it the right way. I know that. Yeah. You know, like these are, I don't know.
I'm like maybe, I know plenty of like other girls that bleach their hair that they don't lose their hair. So yeah, what was he doing?
Yeah, right. Well, I'm guessing the oh, who knows?
He should have asked someone for help. Is what it was.
I'll say this. I'm wearing this nice gender affirming hat because I too bleached my hair too much and I have a six head. So I get it, Sting. I get it. Eventually, he will figure this out by going goth. You know, like a lot of us do. And he's there, like, you know. Fuck it, it's black now, you know.
Yeah.
I saw the crow, let's go. So
I saw the crow was like, all right, cool, let's go.
Give me Sting Crow. And I feel you, Stinger. Yeah, but my absolutely womanly five head feels you. So
that was his coolest outfit though, was the crow one. It was like, oh, there we go.
It's, well, there's a reason that's what stuck. We start with Sting and Booker as far as the graphs go, and Booker reminds me right away why he's a Hall of Famer. The kicks are fucking unreal. Stinger says okay, but like me too though, and he hits him really fucking hard with a shoulder block and sends him spinning, and like that became kind of the sum of my notes for this. Is just this match cooks. Everyone is hitting really hard. They like, holy shit, if they aren't actually hitting, they're really making it look like it, because the intensity is something else. Like, we come back from commercial break, Sting is continuing out there like he's getting like double teamed and rocked.
I feel like a lot of people forget about the difference in like TV definition too.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of punches where it's like, well, now it's easy to tell that was fake. But when you're watching back then, it was like, oh, he's getting the shit beat out of him.
It's hard. I've heard wrestlers talk about like, it's harder to throw a good worked punch now because of HD.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the reasons that people will be like, ah, it looks fake nowadays. I'm like, that's high definition. Like, yeah, it like always looked you
ruined
fake.
It. Yeah, with the TV, ruined it.
That just tells me you've never been to a show and like sat close up at a show. And,
right,
and
yeah.
And I haven't been to a lot of them, but I got to go to one last summer for the first time in like over a decade. And it was so good, but you could absolutely tell, like, ooh, he missed that one. But good on you. It was amazing.
It's still a really cool performance, though.
Right? Know? I got to watch a luchador dressed as a possum literally play dead.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, and then snuck up the small package out of it. It was really...
thought that was really, like, manly and cool, and I would have looked over and been like, nope, you're still homophobic. Okay.
Really, dude? Really? Yeah. Okay. Like, he shook his butt at... Okay, all right. First wrestling. Love him. So, yeah, Booker continues to get his kicking people's heads fucking off. He gives us a little proto-spinneroony. I'm happy about that. They've beaten almost all of Sting's makeup off at this point. I'm kind of in awe how hard this match is going. Yeah, man, we're going to beat the makeup off you. Again, things that bullies have said to me. After 3 weeks...
things after my mom and dad said to me growing up.
After 3 weeks of really, honestly, not great Nitros, and they had a bye week in there, it seems they're back in the groove. And, like, I'm really happy. It was rough. Like, Nitros have been rough, and this week I'm like... I don't know. You could probably tell I came back from that very brief little break there, like, really fucking jazzed. And it's not just because a childhood icon escaped from a basement. That's a whole different story. But finally, Sting gets the hot tag. Our good, good hot dog man, Lex, kind of comes in and actually fucks shit up for a bit. They're coming back strong after a month of sucking. So, not for long, though. Sting tries to come in to save Lex, but...
I want that as a bumper sticker. I'm coming back strong after a month of sucking.
After a month of sucking. Yes, that... Oh, it could have so many meanings. But Lex he's trying to save Lex, but, like, Sting is... He's selling. He's doing great. He's so fucking blown out from getting his ass kicked for this whole matchup until this point that he can't really even do anything. And he ends up just getting kind of, like, thrown back out of the ring. So Lex is about to get, like, completely fucked up, and Jimmy Hart goes to throw the towel, and this is so cool. Booker, like a boss, catches it out of thin air, like, fuck no. That doesn't count. Match is going on, and the crowd, like, eats it up. Everyone seems surprised, though, even, like, the commentary, because, like, that's how good he did. That little bit of, and it's, again, that's that little bit of storytelling that sucked everyone in because he did such a good job that everyone was legitimately surprised when Sting snuck up and rolled him up for the win. Like, it's the joke of cinema. Like, that's great wrestling is, like, they were able to, it's a sleight of hand. It's like close-up magic.
The problem is that Disney has been taking all of their notes for all of their comic book movies that I don't like from the military. And military propaganda and Tom Cruise movies, when they should have been taking all of their notes from wrestling and drag. Because movies would be so much better if they were like this instead of war propaganda movies.
Yes. Much like they should do what wrestling is trying to do now.
Yeah.
Back here, because after the commercial, they show us this new tag team of Fire and Ice. And they're like, you know, we're not going to go to the military or comic books for propaganda. We're going to go to Mortal Kombat.
Which that's what it's all about.
Mortal Kombat, it's 1996. Everyone loves it.
Mortal Kombat is so cool, especially back in 1996.
Yeah, arcade machines and Pizza Hut. And my mom gets mad at me because I'm 8 and I rip a guy's spine out. And you're not supposed to do that. But this is Scott Norton trying to get over being called Flash. Speaking of weird things, so the surprise of no one at fucking all. Like, I get it, it's supposed to be an arm wrestling thing, but no one wants to be called fucking Flash. But they're two beefy men in red and blue singlets, and it makes them feel like Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah,
basically.
Mortal Kombat.
And then they find out they are fighting the fucking Steiners. So we're about to see so many 300-plus-pound men get thrown like sacks of rice. And I'm just like instantly just like...
And none of them are on testosterone at all. Don't worry about it.
No, none at all. None of these guys are literally doing HRT.
They just do push-ups all day. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. So I am also enjoying the Steiner outfits. Rick and Ice Train beat the fuck out of each other a while, and Rick is... I'm like, yeah, this is good. And then I notice it. Rick's wearing Vaporwave and his brother is rocking Two-Tone Ska.
Hell yeah. Yeah, their outfits are good. I'm telling you, like, I like
so good.
I prefer WWF or whatever I think at the time, But every time Nitro came on, I was like, these outfits are so much cooler.
They're so good. And it's
you can tell that Nitro has a props department and a props manager.
Well, they
They're
owned by Turner Broadcasting.
Right, exactly.
So, like, they literally have a production.
Whereas WWF, it's just like a guy named Rick in a back room with a closet. Like, just grab some clothes and keep going. Grab something and walk.
No, it's literally Doc Hendricks. It's literally Michael Hayes going, get some on this guy. You know, like,
make your character on the way to the ring.
Yeah, fuck. So in the meantime, Scooter Steiner heard me talk about throwing fuckers, and he proceeds to dump Scott Norton on his dome repeatedly. He got him like a capture suplex that he snapped.
He did get dumped like a dump truck.
Like, oh my God, belly to bellies, horrifying shit. This is a banger in like a different way. The intensity is still there, but instead of like the intensity of the work rate, this is just the sheer heaviness of people falling because they're just huge.
I wrote in my notes here, 12 minutes in, because I think that's right where we're at. Power pin of the week. Yeah. It was the power pin of the week. And I didn't even have time to laugh about it from a sexual standpoint because it was sponsored. It had like a little, and I was like, hell yeah. Whoever worked at this place was like, all right, so whoever gets their ass beat the best, well, that'll be sponsored by, you know, Castrol Oil or something.
Yep. And it was a good little finishing segment. Ice Train press slam Scooter, but Scooter no sold it because he's on so much scoot juice. God, oh my God, that's why I'm calling steroids now. Scoot juice.
That juice is just scooting right out of him, honestly.
That juice be scooting out of his pores, so he no sells the military press slam. Instead, he's like, fuck you, I'm gonna get you a tiger driver on you. So he sets him up, but Scott Norton's like, no, and he clotheslines him out of the ring. But behind him, Rick takes Ice Train's head off with another clothesline, and that's good for three, just barely. A squeaker, if you will. Hell of a
match. Some of these moves, even if you are trying not to hurt the other person, there's no fucking way it doesn't hurt getting slammed into the mat like that. Oh my God.
No, neither of these teams have guys on them who give a fuck about not hurting you. That's why that match wins so hard, is because they're not pulling their shit. They're like, fuck
it. I know this is completely off topic, but that reminds me of the the John Cena match that just happened.
I did see it. I don't watch fucking.
Yeah, I don't watch WWE. The new stuff or any of it either. But
Sometimes it calls to me, but it's just so gross. Everything around it hurts.
Yeah. I saw like a clip from it though, like on TikTok or something. And someone said, Travis Scott doesn't know not to pull the punch all the way. And it showed him just hit that guy in the head so fucking hard. I was like, oh God damn, he might have ruptured his eardrum.
Yeah. Like, I can't do that. Oh my God.
Like,
holy shit. The boys in the booth.
Just like, bam.
Yeah, you can't. That's not how this goes. You're supposed to like.
And I saw the wrestler that he hit, just like, he kind of.
Yeah, no, I guess Cody, I guess, got fucked up. I might have to actually watch just that because it is a historic moment. Cena turning heel after like 20 years. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, but back in '96, the boys tell us that we're gonna hear from Ric Flair after the break. We get the Bobby Heenan, and my soul gets a perfect moment of peace. Mean Gene, though, no peace for Mean Gene. He has the unfortunate job of wrangling the human eight ball that is 90s Ric Flair. So Mean Gene. Woman is out with him and immediately begins petting Gene. I love this bit. He's trying to no-sell it, but he's like obviously flustered. It's my favorite thing. So Ric Flair's promo is just him showing off his women collection around.
That was weird. Yeah. I got this girl. I got this girl.
This guy used to be married to Macho. You know, this girl used to be married to Macho. And like he's reiterating this, and it's just kind of gibberish. And then he has woman called Giant a small man compared to Ric Flair, which says more about you, Rick. And Liz says much the same, and Giant can come get it, and blah, blah, blah. Well and good. I'm fucking buckling in though because it's parking lot brawl time.
Parking lot brawl time.
Yeah, but all right, but then I get like, oh no, first we're talking about Mortal Kombat and how they're like going for it. So if that was like subtle, they didn't wait till the end of the episode to say fuck subtext. We get a CGI preview that looks like a Mortal Kombat game, And it says Blood Runs Cold coming to WCW, and there's snow and ice. So I am officially starting the Monday Night Fake Fights countdown for Glacier time.
Hell yeah.
Do you remember Glacier at all?
No, I don't.
Okay, so
it sounds
just
cool, like Glacier time, okay.
Real quick, because I do have a hard out coming, but real quick, Glacier is Sub-Zero. Glacier is a white dude martial artist with like blonde hair and like looks like the American Ninja guy from like those 80s movies, but he's dressed up like a Kirkwood Sub-Zero. So they're doing
like weird, gross yellow face.
In a way, kind of. Okay. And it doesn't get better. But he is an actual martial artist, but it's not. Yeah, they're trying to do Mortal Kombat. And eventually we'll get Chris Canyon as Mortis, his like enemy. And it's actually, the graps aren't bad, but the whole gimmick is like, I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Like, they drop fake snow and like, it's just... it's so weird watching it happen. It's like, because I like Mortal Kombat, like we just talked about.
Yeah, but it's also weird to see Mortal Kombat bleed that much into the wrestling.
I didn't realize that, because again, I was a Fed girl, so I did not realize that it happened this hard over here.
Right. Well, like, and also,
what were you guys doing over here? You know,
because of how big Mortal Kombat was at the time, it doesn't seem as weird to do it. But now looking back on, it's like, that was weird.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
to put that much Mortal Kombat in the wrestling.
I tried to put myself back to 1996. And it's like, no, that shit was everywhere. Like, it really was. So we come back because it's
probably
live.
Still the coolest video game movie. Like, I don't care what anybody says. That's the right.
Even the bad ones are good. And the new ones that they made, like that came out around the pandemic, and the sequels coming out this year are fucking great. I will die on that hill.
I liked the one that came out. The first one that
came out. 2021.
Yeah, that one was cool as hell.
What's his name? Carl fucking Urban is playing Johnny Cage in the sequel. So like, let's
incredible.
Go.
That's
yeah,
incredible.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, if I was already sold, and then I saw that, and I'm like, fuck.
They need to put Chapel Roan in it, because that will get every girl to go see it. I want to see her kill people in a Mortal Kombat movie really bad.
Yeah. Or she could get like weird Melina. She'd be a good Melina.
That
Anyways.
Would be so cool. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, again,
that's our other podcast, Chapel Roan Wrestling.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
Chapel Roan Mortal Kombat podcast. Write it down, Sam. So we come back, and because it's live, we come back to the match already happening, because they couldn't stop them from starting to kick each other's asses. These two are friends, like really good buddies. They wrestled in Europe together.
Okay.
So they've known each other for a while. And what's cool about that, It means that they trust each other to be real rough. And because of that, we get this amazing piece of
work. They can do
work.
Kink really safely together.
They can do exactly. Well, to bring it back to when Sage was on, it's all kink.
It is all kink, even though my dad didn't agree.
Yeah, right? So like, they talked about, like, we're going hard. We're not pulling punches. We want to break as much glass as possible, because they got like four trucks. One of them is like a Yugo, but so it's like a hatchback. So they got like three trucks and a hatchback out in the parking lot, surrounded by fans. And you got Fit Finlay and William Regal just beating the piss out of each other. Oh my God. And it's like almost kind of in a ring, so like shape. So Finlay puts his leg through a window almost right away. And I'm hoping that it was like break glass. I don't know if they actually did it, because I feel like everything I know about the 90s tells us that they wouldn't spend the money to replace the glass with sugar glass, but maybe they did. Because it was TNT, maybe, it was Turner, maybe they actually did
right.
that.
Right, yeah, they might have actually...
Because as soon as he put his leg through there, I was like, you're going to cut the big artery. Like, you're going to die.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That's not safe. You know? So thankfully he didn't. But I was like, holy fuck. All right, we're going to go right off the bat. He didn't bleed to death. Before I can even recover from that, he's got a cinder block out and he's punching Regal in the stomach with it. Like, this kind of shit. He takes a bumper off a Range Rover with Regal's face.
That was crazy. I was like, they can't do that now. But back then it was just like, yeah, rip up the car and beat him up.
Yeah, and he hit the car with his face so hard that the bumper fell off.
Yeah.
And then he hit him with the fucking bumper. This is so cool. Like, this is the coolest shit. Yeah. So he tosses him on a pickup, and Bischoff's like, is that a Honda? And Bobby's like, it used to be. Yeah, he in there you go.
That's good. Got him. That was a got him.
Yeah, got him, Bobby. He's back in good form. So someone is bleeding. I can't tell who. Regal drops a damn Fast elbow wrestling. On Finlay.
Somebody's
right?
bleeding, but I can't tell who.
Regal drops a elbow on top of a Suburban, and I just realized this is like 90s Auto Trader wet dream. Like, all of this is
all the
like,
cool cars. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure my brother had one of these. Like, yeah. So we've seen a few matches between these two. They don't pull the punches. They don't care. At one point, Finley's just trying to put Regal's head through a window, and instead, it keeps bouncing off. So he breaks a window with Finley instead. It's like they're just like, we're breaking shit.
Yeah, when Bobby... his head was bouncing off the window, I wrote down, this cut's too close to home for me.
Yeah, like, no, this is,
I don't need to see anybody get their head bounced off a window.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've had my head bounced off a car door before. I don't,
yeah,
this
I'm,
is
I'm
like,
good.
This
I don't
is...
need to relive third grade.
Yeah, this sucks. So, like, Bobby says he's never seen a guy beat a guy up with four trucks before. And I was like, Bobby, you've never been to Wisconsin bar culture. Like, yeah, I've seen it happen.
That's just what we do in Wisconsin, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just sometimes that shit goes down at 3 a.m. Finley tries to tombstone Regal on the hood of a Yugo. Regal gets out of it and then tries to pile drive Finley on the hood. And then Finley backdrops him onto the roof. And it's so great because this whole sequence, it's like they're climbing the car while doing reverses on each other,
yeah.
basically. And then, like, another turnaround, and Regal ends up pile driving him on the hood for the three. And
it's
just,
like, the car is a part of the fight. Like, it's alive, and it's also helping.
What a fight. And, like, holy shit, did they put on a masterpiece in what felt like maybe 7 minutes. Like, it's just the quick, like, wow. Finley's,
and these guys have health insurance too, right? At Nitro?
No, fuck no.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say
that's why they're fighting harder. They got health insurance, but never mind.
Maybe. Well, actually, you know, maybe Nitro did. Maybe
I know
Nitro
that the
did.
Vince isn't giving anybody health insurance.
Didn't. No, Vince sure as shit did.
He'd probably be like, that cuts the integrity of the wrestling in half.
Yeah, exactly. That's not how Dad did it. And like, well, your dad was a piece of shit. Like, he is. So are you. But holy crap, Finley's pissed, so he breaks one more window for good measure, and Bobby's like, wait a minute, that's my car, that's my rental car, as we go to break, which is just like, fuck yeah. He's at, like, after a rough month, Bobby is back in a good place.
It's pretty funny breaking someone's rental car, though. That's pretty good.
That's good stuff. That's, yeah, good. So we come back to the main event. Already, like, this Nitro is cooking. Giant with Jimmy Hart still running the Dungeon of Doom music, which makes me sad. He needs to get out from under Tasky for my mental health. Giant is too good. Like, that's a thing that I've learned. Is like, I first was introduced to Giant literally as Captain Insano in The Waterboy.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, so like, yeah. Because I didn't watch WCW. And then eventually he was the Big Show in The Fed. And I was like, oh, Captain Insano. So, yeah. Like, I'm experiencing Giant for the first time. And I know a lot of people don't like him because they think he's what he was. He was really green. He kind of got thrown into more spotlight than a lot of guys thought he deserved because he was so green. Because he was just a big guy and they could, like, do that. And it's like, but you know what? He wasn't bad. He really wasn't. I'm really enjoying this. Like, he deserves to not be in the Dungeon of Doom anymore, basically. So here comes Flair again, though. He's styling, he's profiling, and I wonder if he's gonna flirt with Mongo's wife for a third week in a row. And sure enough, he does. He's like, hey, there's Deborah, let me go, wink and nod. Mongo tries to act tough about it, but like, I'm sorry, Mongo is so psyched that Ric Flair is gonna fuck his wife, like, and good for him. And I think he should just embrace it. It's like, dude, he's doing that thing where he's acting so tough about it. That's like, methinks you doth protest too much.
Yeah, like, I didn't want that.
Methinks we introduce you to the chair. So like, it's okay, Mago, give in. The grabs start, though. I'm happy because these two have been like putting on a really great program. This is like, I think, their third time fighting. Flair can't get anything on Giant. So, like, this is kind of how it always goes. He literally just throws himself at him and then bounces himself off of him. It's beautiful. It's like he's trying to wrestle a wall, that will military press slam you. At one point, Eric says, unquestionably, and I imagine he's doing that just to rub it in Vince's face that he can say it and Vince can't. Because Vince always goes, unquestionably, and it's like, no, that's not how... That's not how that
works.
There's
like 30 words that Vince cannot say that he still insists on saying on TV.
Yeah, machinations. The 30 words that Vince McMahon can't say on TV. There you go.
That'd be another podcast we can do.
Yeah, that's this podcast.
People be like, are they swear words? No, they're words like unquestionably.
Machinations, you know, things of this nature. Things of this nature is another thing. Yeah, he says of that.
Do you consent?
Right. Yeah.
You can't say that. Yeah. That's too hard for him to say.
Oh, fuck, Gino. Good one. There were signs. All right. Yeah, there you go. There were signs this week. You did it. Flair, back in Grapsland, Flair is just running away for a few minutes because he's like, I can't do anything. It's working for him, though. This is genius shit. He always goes for this popped me so hard. So, like, Flair always goes for, like, the thumb to the eye because he's a dastardly heel.
Yeah.
But, yes, Giant is tall, but he's not this tall. But Flair, being unfortunately a problematic genius of his craft, he does a little hop like he has to jump up to reach poking him in the eye with his thumb. And I was like, that moment might be my match of the week. Like, just like that.
Yeah, that was really cool, though.
It's like, I'm going to sell the fantasy that this guy is so tall, I have to jump up to poke him in the eye. He does it. Yeah, right? It works for a couple seconds. Yeah, but it's like, it's the fee, as we said last week, the fee, fi, fo, fum of it all. He is a giant. Yeah, so like, now you just have a blind giant. So it doesn't work. He continues to throw him around. He tries to choke slam him, but Rick, like, holds on to the rope so he won't go up. And I'm like, that's a good little piece of work there. And then, of course, the girls distract the ref, as they do. That's why they're there. It's why he collects women like Pokemon.
Yep.
Yeah, Flair has what Bobby calls a spasm, and he low blows the giant. It was a spread. It could happen to anybody. That's what it takes to get Giant on his knees. And they do this bit again. Again, they're replaying the hits. Because this is like the third time they've done it, but it entertains me every time where he keeps hitting him, and then Giant just throws him off with one hand. And he hits him a bunch, and he just throws him off with one hand like he's batting a fly away. Oh, it's just genius. So he's trying it. It's not working. And then finally, like, the ref is still not looking. So Rick's like, fuck it, I'm cheating. And he hits him with a foreign object of some sort, hides it back in his knee pad. And Giant is, like, knocked out. So, like, this is classic Ric Flair. I knock him out, and then I'll put him in the figure four so the ref thinks that I knocked him out with the pain. That's believable, right? So he does he does this, and the ref goes to, like, check on him to, like, start to do the pin, and it backfires. And Giant does almost like an Undertaker-style Mike Myers sit-up and reaches out and grabs his throat and, like, people freak out, and he gets him all the way up, breaks the figure four, and I can't believe I'm saying this, he chokeslams Ric Flair on Nitro Raw for the three count and becomes the new WCW champion.
I want to get chokeslammed Raw.
Yeah. Also writing down possible title. Holy shit.
I just think it'd be great. I think if I got chokeslammed Raw, it would be really good for me.
You got chokeslam Nitro. You want to get chokeslam Raw?
Raw, yeah. My dad chokeslam me Nitro. I want to get chokeslam Raw, not by my dad. So
I'm putting the
feelers out there. I need to get chokeslam Raw.
Find me a Beast Guy. So yeah, Giant fucking beats Ric Flair, which is like, we talked about this before. People thought this sucked. I'm watching this, the crowd looks kind of pissed.
Yeah, the crowd, like, wasn't even into this match, really.
Some of them, well, they're into the match, but I don't think they liked how it went. And some of them were some of them were cheering and applauding when he got his hand raised, because, like, you know, that's what you do. And I think some people really did like him. But, like, I will say there were a lot of, I'll say, cishet white looking dudes. with their arms crossed hard.
Yeah, they look pretty
on
grumpy.
The hard cam.
Don't
looking
like this.
Looking grumpy as fuck. And I was like, oh, okay, you're mad that your misogyny guy who collects the women lost the belt. I see you.
Yeah, they need the lady collector to win every match.
Yeah,
right. Because they are the lady collector. And if they're not the lady collector right now, they might be someday.
They're the maidenless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're yeah, America incels. Is a land. America is a land full of temporary maidenless lady collectors. That's the
for
problem.
Real, though.
That's the problem.
Also, I learned recently that back in the 70s and 80s, a lot of white supremacist groups that were like recruiting Nazis. I was just watching this documentary from this like anti-racist guy that like reformed, you know, he helps now make things, you know, better in the world. Anyway, he was saying that a big tactic that they used to have to struggle with when recruiting people to be a Nazi with them was, oh, you guys don't have any girls in here. It's mostly guys. And like that's why that happens is because the guy talking was like, that's why that happens because turns out chicks aren't really into white supremacy and misogyny, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't work well for them. Yeah, as Lauren Southern is now finding out.
Yeah.
So
what do you mean
you know,
bitches don't like being controlled
and called bitches? Like, no. Only other bitches get to call me bitch. That's how that works.
Right.
It's fine and fun and gender affirming.
I can call myself a dumb hot bimbo bitch, and it's fine.
Exactly.
But no one else can. Actually,
if you do it, you better be paying me. So
yes, give me money.
Give Juno money. I for one am seeing this for the first time. This match, though, and like I know he's green. I know he's not great on the mic, but I got like super pumped.
Is he green because they're like the Hulk? Is that what they're?
No. Green is in. He's new. He hasn't wrestled long.
Oh, okay.
As far as the green, like the green lighting they used, I don't know. That's a Dungeon of Doom.
Okay.
Shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Know.
Sorry.
I'm not sure. But when I say green is in, like he's a greenhorn. He's new to it.
Yeah. Okay. He's a new wrestler.
Yeah, he's a newer wrestler. So like he's not the greatest, but I think he's pretty great. And like again, it's another thing where like they gave him this. They're like, you're literally Andre the Giant's son, and he's like, okay, you know, I guess. And like you're just the Giant, even though he can do like. He can go to the top rope. Like he's huge, but he's also a basketball player.
He's like more agile than Andre was in size.
Yeah. So
they could have used him for more stuff instead of just like you're a big guy.
But they didn't want to. So, but what did he do? It's kind of like Dustin, where they're like, you're the queer. So he's like, all right, I'm gonna be the best damn queer that ever queered. And so he's like, yeah, I'm the Giant. All right, I'm gonna get really good at being the Giant. And that's what made this work. Like this whole match was him doing great Giant shit to Rick, who did a great job selling that he's fighting a literal Giant. And like it worked. I loved it. I get it. I say get it, Paul White. You did great. This match ruled. Wrestle Sky, feel free to jang me to hell for it. But hot take, I love this. This was a good title change on TV. I loved the buildup to it. I loved the match. I love that it happened clean. I love that both guys executed perfectly. Like, I know that I'm historically told that I'm supposed to not like that they did this, but I really like that they did this.
Okay, like, I'm really dense too. I'm listening to you, but I had to look up this wrestling guy you're talking about. Paul White.
Oh, White. Yeah, that's
is,
Captain
looks like
Insano.
Big Show, Captain Insano. Because I was trying to figure out if he was the son of Andre the Giant or if he was just being introduced as this, but it's just like a wrestling thing.
No,
okay.
It's just a wrestling thing, which they, I think they have more or less abandoned at this point. But when they first introduce him, they're very, because they're trying to set him up as a foil for Hogan. And Hogan only knows one thing. I come out, I no sell, I slam big guy. Bring me a Giant. Bring me literally Andre the Giant's son. And that's how we'll make money. Because Hogan has one idea. It didn't work. So they've more or less abandoned that. But for a long time, they were trying to say.
I was like, I didn't know Andre the Giant had I didn't know this was his kid, but okay. Yeah,
that's because he fucking didn't. And it's honestly fucked up because he's dead and he can't, like. You know what I mean? Like
that's what I was trying to figure out. I'm like, wait, what? If this isn't actually his kid, that's weird to do to Andre.
Even in death, like it's almost especially in death, they keep exploiting that man, and I fucking hate it. From all I could tell, except for some not great boundary stuff in the locker room that is more about we'll say it's more about patriarchy and toxic masculinity than it is about Andre. But outside of that, I'm pretty sure he was a sweetheart and a
yeah.
And
honestly, a he deserves dude. So like, much more respect. But instead, he was just disrespected constantly. I think him confronting Vince once or twice on some of the stuff he was doing is what contributed to that. Probably they got to bully a guy that tries to be good.
I'm pretty sure at one point Vince like talked him out of getting the surgery that would have stopped him from continuing to grow because he made him think that he would be less of a draw. And Paul White has the same exact thing, but he's got it fixed at 27. He got the surgery so that he would stop growing
and not die.
And not die. And he can still occasionally hop in the ring and stuff.
That's too bad that Andre was talked out of that.
Well, fucking add it to the list of reasons why Vincent J. McMahon is going to fucking burn in hell. So, yeah, I loved it. Bobby Heenan, though, he's sad. He can't speak straight. Mongo is jazzed because Bobby is sad. Pepe is staring directly into the camera saying, save me, please. what a Nitro. And that's Nitro. Like, holy fuck. that is, we did it. you did it. It took a lot. But you came and we talked about both episodes of this show. Do you have any final thoughts on Nitro before we discuss our final questions?
Like I said, growing up, it was just this thing where it was like, I hate that I'm enjoying this because this isn't the real one. This is the other wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, it was the new one because it came later. And so it was compared to WWF. So I was like resisting it a lot growing up, but after a while it felt more gay to me. So I kind of, you know, began to like it more until the Attitude Era that kind of pulled me back. Cause I like seeing Stone Cold throw chairs at his boss. I was like, that's
everybody.
Cool.
That's really, it's the great unifier. Everyone wants to beat up their boss and Stone
everyone
Cold
wants to beat the shit out of their boss. And Vince McMahon was smart enough to go, oh, people hate me and their boss. Let's just smush those together.
My boss, who's probably listening occasionally and is occasionally a guest on this show.
You weren't talking about them. You like them.
I'm not talking about you. I love you. They're
good. And then I don't have a boss, but if I have a boss because they give me a job or a book deal, then I would never beseech your name ever. I would say good things about you only because I want money.
Right, exactly. So on that note, I love my bosses. The note of loving bosses completely, not sarcastic at all. I'm trying to keep a straight face. It's not working.
I like that it's like punk rock and I'll do whatever I want, but also it's like, also tell me what you want and I'll do that for money.
Yeah, it's fun. Easy. Yeah,
it's funny.
That used to be a fun game at a place I worked. What will Garrick do for $50? You know, like, what won't I do for $50?
That used to be me at parties whenever everyone got me drunk.
Yeah, there you go.
I think the weirdest thing they got me doing was I was really trashed. And this is pre-transition. Now I don't drink. I can't drink one sip. And I'm just like, oh, but I was dancing with a plant. Like I was dancing with like a fake tree. I was like, this is fun. And I was dancing with that plant to Bonnie Tyler's Anita Hero from Shrek 2.
Hell yeah. I could be into that.
I know that Bonnie Tyler's Anita Hero is not from Shrek 2, but it is. You know what I mean?
No, like, no, it's from Shrek 2.
That's the origin of it. Well, no, I mean, like, I know that's not where it came from, but in my mind.
No. I'm deciding to reject that reality and subsequent my own. That's where it's from.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
that's the best use of a song in a movie ever.
Yeah.
Was Shrek running. Yeah.
Yes.
They should put Shrek in wrestling too.
They should. I'm kind of amazed they haven't yet, but until Shrek shows up in wrestling.
There was DreamWorks Backyard Wrestling Slam. Yeah.
That was a thing. Holy shit. I need to look into that. Write that
down. We need to make Shrek wrestling happen. Sorry, I'm interrupting and talking about Shrek.
No, that's okay. I got two more questions before I let you go. Did you have a favorite match of the week?
God, that's hard to pick. There's like a lot of matches that jump out at me. I don't know. For me, any match where things get interrupted, like it's not supposed to go this way and it does anyway. I like that. Like if you walk out of any match where you're like, you're watching it and you're like, oh, it's probably gonna go this way. And you walk out of the room to get a drink and you come back and it's just chaos. Like, that's good. Yeah. Like, they're not even supposed to be here. That's great.
Right.
I think the reason my memory of like what my best match would be probably or favorite is that a lot of people that I have good memories of are people that are like now known shitheads like Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker. Like, yeah. I like them growing up and now I'm like, oh, they're, you know what? Here's my favorite. I have one. I have an answer. My match of the week, my favorite one, is when everybody booed Hulk Hogan for trying to sell beer. the other day.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. That's my favorite match of the week. When everyone at the audience of wrestling booed Hulk Hogan during a promo for beer.
Yes, nothing we saw on the show that specifically.
That
yes.
One. Yeah, watching the whole.
I was going to say, I really was enjoying the Steiner Brothers match, and then I remembered about the Steiner Brothers as people, and I was like, oh, it's not.
Oh, I'm really autistic. I misunderstood your question. I thought you meant like ever. I didn't know you meant about what we talked about.
About what we just watched.
About what we talked about. My favorite one.
I'm leaving it in because it's good.
Yeah, my favorite one was the one with Mankind. I really liked the Mankind match. That was cool. It was just like, oh, right, wrestling is allowed to be silly and not just like, you know, punch, punch, kick. Like, yeah, it's punch, punch, kick, but also it's like silly. And that was my favorite growing up, was like the storylines and stuff.
And that transitions to my match of the week. Silly punches and kicks and silly at the same time. Parking lot brawl.
Yes.
That shit was... That's one of my favorite matches of all time. So it had to kind of...
The bumper falling off the car. I feel like the person who did that was probably... Like, when they did that, they're probably like, oh, whoop, I didn't mean to hit you that hard.
Yeah, no, I feel like that whole match was them going, I'm going to have to be so sorry later. Like, I'm going to be buying you so many beers. Yeah,
they probably all
later.
Need painkillers after that match, for sure. Like, 3 Tylenol apiece.
Quite literal and somas. And then the final question of the week, but I feel like I already know the answer to this. I mean, I know my answer. Who won this week? Because it's a war, Nitro or Raw? And I say Nitro because I was like,
yeah, no, I think so too.
I was like electric. I was popping.
And that's why
it's
like
Nitro.
Hard to pick a favorite moment from it, because it was just good the whole time. It was just chaos, basically.
The whole show was cooking and it was amazing.
Ted Turner. In the docuseries on Netflix, he is pretty fair, I think, overall to, like, you know, what happened and stuff. And I think it's funny when, like, for the two different, you know, competing networks or whatever. Mm. But I liked when he said something like, I know in the end Vince won, but he's like, there was a while where we were eating his lunch every single day.
Yep. And that's why he was pushed so hard to do the fucked up shit that he did.
Right.
Part of it was because, like, they were actually losing.
They kind of made it so Vince had to open the Overton window and drag it a bunch.
He had to get weird to win. And that's why we're doing the show, where we will continue to get weird to, I guess, win. But thank you for being here and being weird and winning. is there any... Anything that you want to let people know about where to find you, where to send you the money they should send you?
Oh.
anything you want to promote before we get out of here?
You can follow me on Blue Sky. My name is Juno. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. And you can, I have newsletters. I'm really bad at this. I have newsletters you can subscribe to, because I got sick of cisgender journalists saying, wow, that's a really good idea, but we can't approve that because of this really dumb reason. And then, like, 4 months later, I would see that someone else write the idea that I pitched. And I was just like, okay, bet. So
eat that the way.
Yeah. I started just writing independently more, because I can write it without anyone affirming me. I know what I'm doing. Anyway, okay. I've got a newsletter called Girl Music. It's named that way intentionally to be antagonizing, because growing up it felt like men were always like, no, this is ours and you have to name 3 songs and do you know enough about this to partake in our music. And it's like, I call it Girl Music, but then the first line in every newsletter is, this is music newsletter is for anyone who just likes pretty music and art, because it's girl music because girls can listen to it too, but I choose to share it with people, you know.
Fucking A, and I appreciate that. And I think I love music, and I think that more people should be less like that. And
yeah,
that's the thing, it could be like
art
that.
Cool.
And that's one of the things I like about the good wrestling community. A lot of Wrestle Sky is that it's more about sharing the thing we love.
Isn't this fun? Don't you like it too? Instead of, do you like this as much as me? Because if you don't, you can't be here. That's stupid.
Every
single like hobby or passion has that. And it's just like, add to the community. It just pushes people out.
Yeah, it's, Bro's like, oh, you're a fan of wrestling? Name 3 of Ric Flair's crimes. You know, come on. It's like, yes, exactly. And I can. That's why I became this bitch. It was like, I will name all of his crimes. They are
my favorite joke for that is, oh, you're a girl that likes Nirvana. Name 3 guys that have accosted you in a parking lot for wearing a Nirvana shirt. It's
just
so
now?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I get it all the time because, like, if I'm wearing a t-shirt, there's an 80% chance it's a Nirvana shirt. And so I get it all the time. And I always give wrong answers. I think it's funny.
They're just mad that you pointed out that their hero is a trans girl. And
that's what it is. Yeah, they don't like it. Yeah,
and you're right. Oh my god, we didn't trans a single fucking wrestler on this podcast.
We didn't. This week, the wrestler that we are transing is Mankind. Mankind is non-binary this week.
All right, awesome. Yes, no, that makes sense. No, Mick gives me that energy for sure. Excellent. Well, welcome, Mankind.
Welcome to the trans universe.
The trans universe. We did it, and we will continue to trans a wrestler every week until our.
I mean, I know that we can't always shout wrestling out for doing good things, but
yeah.
They recently, I think it's Cody. I don't know the names. Cody Rhodes. He ran over and signed a fan's thing when they were holding a trans flag, and I was like, hell yeah! Hey. Like,
yeah, that, no, there's a lot of choice. Really good.
He didn't have to walk over there, but instead he was like, yes.
Yeah, well, his brother Goldust, Dustin Rhodes, was one of the first people to have trans flag merch on the AEW store.
I love that. That's so cool. See, guys, art doesn't have to be patriarchal and mean. It can be aggressive and cool and inclusive.
Exactly. And that's a great note to end on, because that's a lot of what we do here, folks. Transing your favorites, whether you like it or not. But thank you for being here, Juno. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out and listening. And God, there's not much else to say. We'll see you next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.